How do you know if you're worrying too much? How can you mend a broken heart? Does peaking at school ruin you for life? I'm Susie Ruffle, a stand-up comedian and someone who has always experienced anxiety. And I've written a book, Am I Having Fun Now? Considering some of life's big questions, featuring bonus insights from the likes of Charlene Douglas, Sarah Pascoe, Elizabeth Day and Dolly Alderton. Am I Having Fun Now? Is out now in hardback, ebook and audio. Hello and welcome to Like-Minded Friends with me, your friend, Susie Ruffle.
And me, well, your friend, I suppose, Tom Allen. Hi, everybody.
Tom, you look really sun-kissed.
Angelic.
Yes, angelic. That's it.
The sun is streaming in.
Heaven must be missing an angel.
Oh, heaven. I'm in heaven.
Sure.
Well, I'm in the back bedroom, but yeah, the sun is
it's pouring in.
Pouring in on me. It must be in Brighton as well, no?
Oh, Tom. I don't know if you can see. I'm sun-kissed.
Oh my
goodness,
you're absolutely blessed there.
I am blessed, thank you. It looks like there's... Can you see that thing on your screen that's like over by your elbow?
Hang on.
Is that an orb? Might be a ghost.
I don't know what that is. Yeah, that's interesting. It must be a ghost. It
must be a ghost. Hello.
Hello.
Oh, welcome here.
Oh, everybody's welcome. I do tend to turn off my own self-view.
Do you?
Because otherwise I find I don't look at anybody except myself.
Yeah, I think that's probably wise.
Because I'm so beautiful. No, because I'm so vain. That's why.
That song by Carly Simon.
Yes, you're all of the songs today, hon.
Do you know what? I'm feeling very musical.
I can tell. I like it.
Even the sewing machine's a singer. That's an old gag, isn't it?
I'd said it on Sunday. It's one of my favourites.
Where were you on Sunday to say that?
On the radio show.
Oh, yes, of course.
Talking to Nick Mohammed.
Oh, I love him.
Such a nice person, isn't he?
Such a nice person. Yeah. Was he talking about his tour or about Ted Lasso?
He was talking about a charity event he's doing as a Q&A at the Theatre Royal on this Sunday, the 23rd.
That would be good.
Yeah.
He's great.
He's a good guy. Really nice guy.
He really is. Very
musical, hence I was saying about it.
Sure. He's a very musical guy,
but he's broken his violin. That was his story.
Oh.
It cost him a lot of money to have it fixed. That's the thing. People don't realise.
Yeah.
My piano's been fading. I mean, I tell you, Suze.
Your piano's been fading? What does that even mean?
Well, it's near the window, isn't it?
Oh, you mean the wood?
And I'm so worried about it. I think I'm going to have to get like a cover to go on it.
Oh, what? Like you're in a municipal hall?
Yes, it's very much like the school hall piano. Yeah.
You're going to give it a jacket?
Yeah, because the sun is so pernicious. It just comes in and...
What about moving the piano?
No, Suze, I can't. Because I don't know where else I'd put it. And also, everywhere gets the sun.
Sun shines on the righteous, is that right?
Yes, the sun shines on the righteous, another saying of mine. Well, something that I enjoy saying.
Yeah, I don't know if you can...
Claim it.
Is that not one biblical?
I think it might be from the Bible, yeah.
But did you write
any
of that?
It's my say. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I didn't. I'm not that old. But
you didn't write the Bible?
I didn't write the Bible, no. No, I did not. No, I did not.
Check these things.
Good to make sure, though. Right?
Right.
Right.
My hair's a bit flat.
No, it's not. Don't be yourself.
Just get out of the shower.
Have you, Suze?
Yeah.
Oh. Do you have a loofah?
Tom, that's a very personal question. Do I have a loofah? No, I don't have a loofah. Should I have a loofah?
Well, I've bought one, but I don't. It's a
what
vegetable.
What are you washing with it?
Did you know it's a vegetable? A loofah. A dried out vegetable.
Do you know what? I think you're getting too much with this gardening.
I know. Now I'm growing sponges for the bath.
SpongeBob SquarePants?
That's what they call me, yeah.
SpongeTom SquarePants?
Yes. SpongeTom SquarePants. SquareBobs, yeah.
What kind of vegetable?
I can't remember now, but one that sort of dries to a husk like that, an abrasive husk, and it can be very exfoliating.
That's what I'm like in the winter months.
Yes, I know, right? Very exfoliating. People say that about you. And then and then you're supposed to use it, but I only see people really using them in films and such.
What kind of movies are you watching when people are in the shower, Tom? Begs the question.
It's always with they're in, like, they've got maybe a shower cap on and they're in a bath. You can't really see anything except they'll occasionally kick up a leg. It's that sort of film. Or it's the same sort of...
Watching striptease again.
Or, like, they'll be taking their clothes off behind a screen. So you'll just have, like, the occasional piece of clothing
a
flung.
Bum.
Well, no, not a bum. Just, like, they'll be behind a changing screen. So you'll just see a top thrown over the top.
Oh, I know what you mean. Oh, I was thinking more of a bum through a sort of misted glass.
Oh, no, no. Too much. Too erotic.
Too much for
Tom. Too much for me.
He can't take the saxophone. He's not going to have nudie people in the shower.
Absolutely not, I'm afraid, no. Absolutely not. None of that.
If you were to do a film and they said, Tom, this film, it's gonna be great for your career. It's going to do really well at Cannes. It's going to be like a sleeper hit. People are going to love it. You'll be the talk of the town. I don't know which town, but not Bromley.
Wow.
But you have to do nudity.
I don't know. I think if I was doing that, I don't think it would be going to Cannes. I think we would be going to Kant. I think it would be very much a Kant festival.
What about just from the back?
Oh, from the back? I might not be so modest.
Yeah.
But I still would be.
You would still be a bit about your bum being out.
Would you? What about you?
Oh, I jump at the chance.
Really? Don't jump.
No.
<I hate yourself.
laughs> Don't jump. Don't give everyone a bird's eye view. There's Susie trampolining nude again.
But I do think there are some things that some shows and films that really kind of lean into it. And I think a lot of it's very unnecessary.
Of course you do. You're so British. No sex, please. We're British.
Exactly. A light reference. That's all I need.
To
tell the story.
If sure, sure, sure.
You know,
sure.
I don't need to have that explained to me.
No. What about in novels? Do you find you have to close a novel if it's getting too dirty? Have you ever read a Julie Cooper?
I've never actually read a Julie Cooper, although I did very much enjoy Rivals. But I remember The Buddha of Suburbia, one of my favourite books we did at school, and that had lots of rudeness in it. And
at school?
In sixth form, yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And around about the same time, I read Sebastian Faulkes' Birdsong, which is a bit raunchy alongside all the descriptions of war.
Well, that's the thing. In war, people, you know, they need to shag.
That's the thing. You can hear my coffee cup trembling there. But the sheer thought of it. But I remember reading Lady Chatterley's Lover and not thinking that was very rude at all. Quite disappointing.
You sure you didn't read like a child's version?
Well, certain airlines I've noticed will edit a film.
Well, you know, they'll edit it if there's anything gay in it.
Will they?
Yeah. Some of the airlines from the UEA.
Oh.
Yeah, I was on an Emirates flight and I was like, this is not what happened here.
What was the film you were watching, dare I ask?
Brokeback Mountain. Of course. It was a story of two brothers going on a...
They just went on a walk and came back.
Oh. Yeah. No, I don't remember what it was. It was a TV series. Oh. It might have even been like Friends or something.
Oh, there's not a lot of...
And I think they might have bleeped... I'm sort of half remembering this, but I know that they definitely, someone will write in and tell me. I think they bleeped the word lesbian when they were talking about Susan and Carol.
Oh, they bleeped it?
Yeah.
To stop people even knowing about them.
Well, of course, if you hear the word lesbian, if you say it three times in a mirror, you become a dyke.
Well, you know, that's why I won't say it in a mirror.
Claire Boulding appears behind you.
Very much the Beetlejuice.
And offers you sort of a signing in sheet.
Oh, yes, which
you're one of us now. Would you like to come to Crufts?
Of course. And you know that Claire would be very organised like that. Yeah.
Oh, for sure.
For sure.
Hey, Tom, how do you think she keeps up with that diary?
She's very good, isn't she? She's very good.
Her and Alice, not my wife, her wife, they've been on a cruise. I don't know them. I know this from Instagram, of course.
Oh, I didn't know they cruised.
And,
yeah.
Oh, they're cruisers. Came back straight into Crufts.
Wow.
Someone's holding that diary together.
Well, good for her, I'd say. Would you like to go on a cruise? I'd quite like to go on a cruise, you know.
Yes, I would like to go on a cruise.
More and more, I'd like to go on one.
Yes. Where would you like to do?
Don't mind. Don't even need to get off, as it were.
Well, I think some of those gay cruises, that's very much the point.
That's very much the point. But I like the idea of just sitting on a balcony, just looking out at sea for ages.
I love that.
I think I'd enjoy that.
Reading a book.
And I've said it before, though. I mean, I don't know. I think my sort of holidaying is evolving because I cannot stand
people
music. Well, it's people who play music on the beach. I don't like it. I've said it before, I know, but I think I'm in a minority. I think everybody else seems to quite like them.
No, that I don't doesn't think that's mind true.
Really?
Oh, no, people can fuck off with their music on the beach.
When because those portable speakers now are so cheap.
Yeah.
So everyone has them. But I just think, well, why wouldn't you just put your earphones in and just listen to it? So, you know, do you listen to your music? I listen to mine.
Because people think they're the centre of the universe.
Is that because of TikTok?
Well, I don't know. I think it's because people think they're the main character in the film of their life, but they don't realise they're sort of just the annoying person on the beach in the film of other people's lives.
Do you think? Yeah. Because there's a lot of music I don't like, and that I don't mind that.
Not into the drum and bass?
Don't particularly like drum and bass, no. But, or whatever, you know, like I just go, well, I wouldn't force my Stephen Sondheim on you.
But I think you should maybe. Maybe you should take a speaker and you should play Sunday in the Park with George.
Oh, that would be nice. Yeah, in Alicante, yeah. Finishing the hat. But I just think that, but I just think, am I on a losing battle? You know, everybody's going online. Everybody's big on an algorithm. I just feel like, does anybody else feel like they're being left behind?
I don't know if an algorithm is linked to.
No, I know.
But you feel like you're being left behind. We spoke about this the other day, didn't we?
I know.
Left behind by the digital revolution.
Well, there's that. And just sometimes I just feel like it. Do you ever feel like that, Suze?
Oh, yeah, all the time. I think that people lack an amount of just sort of general respect for each other.
That's interesting. Do you think? Yeah.
Well, I was on the bus the other day with my daughter, who is a small child.
Yes.
And there were people that were just swearing incessantly and so loudly. And I didn't say anything because they looked big. But they were so crude in their language. And so I like just didn't care. There was like elderly people on the bus. And there was just, don't take me wrong, I swear like a trooper.
You know, absolute trooper.
I swear, I grew up in Portsmouth. I swear like a sailor.
Like a navvy.
Absolutely. Yeah. Mm. And is a navvy a navalman?
No, I think a navvy is somebody who works on the roads.
Oh, what, like a navigator?
Oh, I don't know.
Is that where it comes from?
I'll check it, just in case it's something offensive.
If you could.
Sure.
But no, I swear too much. When I listen back to my previews at the moment, I'm thinking,
oh yeah, I swear.
Babe, you got to stop the swearing.
Yeah.
But, you know, I was like wincing by how much these people, and they were using the C-bomb, everything.
No, and no one said anything because they were a bit scary looking.
No, because they were just loud and brash. And I thought, oh, what, can you not? Can you just not? And I think it's the same with music and with.
Yes, brash.
Everything.
Era.
People just not being.
Well, I do wonder.
Kindly.
That's what I mean. I suppose that's why I've always liked, you know, etiquette and manners and just sort of the way people conduct themselves. I just think is a show of respect to the people around you.
Yeah. I totally agree. I think the world's going to hell in a handbasket. You heard it here first.
But I think a lot of young people are very polite. I don't know if it's just a general sort of thing of just like,
I don't think it's all young people.
Is it our phones?
Is it that people are so into their phones they've forgotten how to be in the real world?
I wonder, yeah.
And people are so rude in the online world. They're so horrid to people.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, that sort of thing when you think. Like, and that just sort of breeds more of the unkindness and inconsideration, doesn't it, I think?
Yeah. People are so mean.
Yeah.
Like a couple of the videos I've had that have done all right recently on social media, like me sharing my stand-up clips. Honestly, I mean, I've obviously blocked them all, so you can't see the comments anymore. But the homophobia I was getting.
Oh,
was
yeah.
Just like, yeah, and I blocked them because I have so many young people that follow me, or just anyone that follows me, that I'm like, oh, I don't want you to scroll down at my picture.
We get it. She's relevant. The young people like her. We get it.
Honestly, I'm basically Gen 1. What is it? Gen Z? Gen
Alpha. Alpha is the other one.
I'm
it's
alpha.
The next one. But the Alphas are still, Gen Alpha are still at school. They're very young.
Oh, well, I'm still at school. I have to come out of PHSE to do this every week.
I know.
People don't realise.
I just think the internet is terrifying.
Yeah. Though,
and you're right to mitigate that for the young people who follow you. You're right to try and make it a nicer place.
I mean, there are, if you follow me, it might be because you're queer or anxious, because that's two things that I've spoken about at great length.
Quanxious, if you will.
She's a quanxious girl.
She's a quanky.
I'm a quanxious girl. And I...
It's been said before.
Let me say again. And I don't want other quanxious people to go on there and see homophobes.
No, we don't want that. We don't want that. And it does still sting. You know, I still, whenever people are mean about things, it does still sting. Well, and I think as well, like, I don't know, sometimes like in my early, we've talked about this before, but like
Tom,
starting out.
We've been doing this podcast for 9 years. We've talked about everything before. What,
look, maybe we're talking about something old in a new way.
Seems unlikely. It'll be the same sentence, the same way that we've done it 8 times on this podcast over the past 9 years. You go.
I don't mind
you
it.
Go.
I don't mind it. That's a very modern thing to do, isn't it? I don't mind it. It's a very sort of American Southern sort of, I think.
Is it?
Kind of polite. I think so. Like, I don't mind it. It used to be that people would say, I don't care for that. In a sort of Victorian, seems very sort of old school way of talking, doesn't it? But employed in a modern context, I think it's interesting. Anyway, I can't remember what I was going to say.
You were saying about being hurt by people.
Oh, but yes, starting out and stuff. Like, I did talk about being gay a lot because, well, you know, a lot of straight audiences wanted something to go like, oh, okay, we get who you are.
Yeah.
So that does become part of it.
Well, yeah.
And it does kind of frame your understanding of the wider world.
Yeah, and you just sort of have to introduce yourself. And it's not the most important thing about me, but it is relevant to my life.
Absolutely. You know, it doesn't matter, of course. We can weather these storms, but it just feels a little bit unpleasant. And I think that's the thing, I suppose, isn't it, about like what we're saying about like manners and respecting each other. It just makes everybody's day a bit more pleasant.
Well, yeah. I just don't understand it. Do you remember when someone like commented on this podcast being like, oh, I like listening to it, but I don't like that Susie pretends to do a posh accent when she's with Tom? You're like,
you've held on to that for a long time.
Haven't I? Isn't that strange of me? But do you know what I mean?
It's not like you. It's not like you.
But do you know what I mean? Like, fancy listening to this and then being like, I'm going to, and something that I'm not putting on. I think that your voice changes depending on who you're with. Well, mine certainly does.
Yeah, everybody's does.
And then being like, oh, I've listened to this. I kind of know these people and I'm going to be horrible to her.
It's horrible. I know it's mean.
It's mean.
But I think that, again, my question yesterday to my family was, is the internet actually such a force for good?
Tom, that sounds like the beginning. Is that how you start your dinners?
Yeah, I start with an essay question.
Do you?
Yeah. And then
tell me, what was the family's take? What did Irene have to say about it?
Well, there was lots of discussion about it. Well, mum's not on any social media, and I think that's wise.
Well, yeah, of course.
And I think there's sometimes
a sense... she's also not trying to sell a tour. Love her.
Sure. She's not. You're right.
But she's not on tour.
But I think there's a lot of wisdom in people who don't need to be online. Why would you be online? I get that.
Oh, for sure.
I think that the internet has obviously been great for, I would say, communication in the sense of FaceTime and Zoom calls. And that kind of thing. And I think that social media can be a great thing for reaching out to people, connecting with people, telling your story.
Yes.
But I think that there is a sense that like, oh, I should just check in all the time, which I think is not so good.
Yeah. Well, you know, I divorced my phone at the beginning of the year.
Yes, you did.
So well. Mm. And now I've sort of slipped back into not being on it loads, but finding myself on it and then being like, oh, I've been here for like 20 minutes scrolling through these pictures of people. Why am I doing this with my life?
Yes.
I'm wasting my precious time on this earth.
Yeah. What sort of a day is that? Yeah.
Do you know, I was on my phone and I was scrolling. I was doom scroll, like just scrolling. Oh yeah. And you know, I follow fashion brands and footballers. Ooh. Female,
obviously,
musical theatre stars, that sort of thing, Clairbolding. Yeah. But I stumbled onto, I follow the Female Poets Society.
Lovely.
And they just share some poetry by people. And there's a quote, I guess it's a part of a poem, but the quote they had put up, which was by Mary Oliver, said, tell me, what is it you plan to do with your one wild and precious life? And I thought, get off the fucking internet. What am
that's
I doing?
Right. I think that's...
Get off Instagram. That's what I'm going to do with my precious life.
Yes, I think there's that sense of being trapped in it. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Get off the internet. I'm going off, as the kids would say. Go off.
Is that what, I think that's quite a, That's quite an old expression, isn't it? But yeah. Feel like young people take an old word and then say, I've invented this word, which I realize I just did with a Bible quote, but they'll do it with like the word brat. Well, I'm sorry. The definition of the word brat, according to Charlie XCX, is kind of the same as what brat has always meant. So it's not really a new word. I'm sorry, Charlie XCX.
She listens to this. So that'll be quite devastating.
I think it probably will, actually. But
same with fashion.
What XCX means. Is that 900 and XC? That's 10 off 100. That's 90. And then X is 10. It's a difficult one.
Do you think her birthday's the 9th of...
Oh, I didn't think of
October.
That.
October.
Or the 10th...
Or is it the 10th of September?
Or the 19th of the 10th? Didn't think of it like that.
Oh, if there's anyone that's young that's listening, I don't know how many young people...
Oh, there aren't, Susie. There aren't.
I hope we don't know about XCX.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. You were going to a new thought and I was still hung up on that. Again.
Oh, no, my new thought was fashion.
Go on.
Well, I just think... Do you know what? I think it's great.
Great.
No, but it's the same with fashion, isn't it? You know, people go, oh, a wide leg trouser suit's in. Oh, a pinstripe's in.
Wear what you like.
Go, oh, women wearing ties, you know? Have you seen this? Women are wearing ties nonstop.
Wild. Wild.
Look, I don't want to be the one that says I've been doing this for a decade, but Diane Keating did it in the 80s.
Oh, well.
You know, nothing's new.
The Bloomsbury set.
Women were doing it in the
30s. I was going to say, the Bloomsbury set bloody loved it. Well, in fact, I think it was more of a... Late 19th century, early 20th century, a sort of Edwardian sort of thing. I think late Victorian, early Edwardian. Women would
maybe with a long skirt,
and a blouse, a high collar, a blouse, and maybe a tie with it or a cravat with a pin. I think was quite the thing. A short tie. So you know,
love.
Fashion's always been
chic.
We've always been playing. I think the only thing is if we get caught up in. If things on the internet stop us from playing, then they're a bad idea. There, a conclusion.
Oh, good. Should we have some letters from our listeners?
Sure.
Hi, Susie and Tom. Was just catching up on the podcast and Narnia was mentioned. I rewatched The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe over Xmas and marvelled at Aslan as I wanted to hug him now as much as I did when I was 8.
Oh.
And when I was looking on Instagram for pictures of him to share... this fact with my dedicated following, brackets, sarcasm, I found the feed to the team who built Aslan himself. Link below.
Oh, I think we all want to cuddle Aslan, yeah.
Do we think he's a bit scary?
No.
No?
No, he was a wise lion.
Yeah, I know, but... Oh, yeah, he's really nice.
He's a nice lion, yeah.
He's a nice lion. He wasn't animation or stop motion, just a real practical animatronic puppet.
Oh, I didn't know that.
There was some animation of the other beasties that the witch used to battle with the kids, but those have not quite stood the test of time, whereas Aslan is fluffy and gorgeous as ever.
Oh, that's good, isn't it? Something from the past. That's endured.
Yes. The show brings back wonderful memories of watching the show in front of a real fire that we had at the time, having toast and jam.
Oh, Sunday nights.
And Tom, who did you meet from the show? Did you meet someone from the show?
I met I think he played, I want to say Timon or Timothy.
Sure.
I met him. And I was very... Yes. Starstruck, let me tell you.
Oh, of course. She goes on. Also, I'm going to see
She goes on.
What did that sound, bitchy? She didn't half go on. Also, on Friday, I'm going to the Donmar Clang. To see a play and Celia Imrie is in it.
What a treat.
It's going to be quite surreal. Victoria Wood, as seen on screen. It was a staple part of my comedy education. Mm. So she is quite the icon. Excited! ! Anyway, I had to share this post with you about Aslan as he was mentioned. Bye, 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 bye. And that's from Danielle.
Oh, how lovely. Thank you for that, Danielle.
I would love to meet Celia Imrie.
Well, go to the Domon. You probably will.
Yeah, I really love her. I'd really like to have tea with Celia Imrie.
I'm sure you could.
Do you? I don't know that I could. I think she was so funny in Acorn Antiques.
Oh, I know.
A real scene stealer. And as Una Alconbury in Your Friend and Mine, Bridget Jones.
Well, I think as well, what is marvellous about Celia Imrie is the way that she plays everything for truth and plays it very subtly. She doesn't stands center stage. She just does a great job of doing things wherever she is. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, I think you're right. But I also think she's a bit of a scene stealer.
Oh, do you?
So it's sort of not intentionally, not in a trying to steal the scene. I think she just simply can't help it.
For sure. I agree.
And Dinner Ladies, she was great in that, wasn't she?
Oh, I loved it. Yeah. I'm going to keep running in.
Thomas?
Please note, I am 33 and addicted to Call the Midwife, so you'll kill the midwife chat has me in stitches. Also, I have two bath mats, hang them up after every use, but why are they made of such crap material that stays wet? Towels. Anyway, Tom, my sister and I came to see you in Sheffield in April last year. Oh, well, that's very... we whooped and clanged at anything even vaguely LMF related and were surprised at how little others did the same. Well, it is a very exclusive club, this LMF. We did also wait outside for you after the show. We got to that you'd already left, but we'll see you this time. Oh, sorry about that. Suze, my sister came to see you at a gig a while ago and you had a good chat with her about her job because she tweeted that she was rushing to a gig from London and then you just made it in time. Anyway, apologies, I digress. I just wanted to give a huge shout out to my gorgeous sister, C. She's been through a lot and most currently is supporting two adult children who have recent neurodivergent diagnoses and one who is also having severe identity issues and has recently started using the they, them pronouns. They are severely struggling with their mental health currently and my sister is using all her energy to give counsel, love and support while they navigate this new way of life, identity and thinking. Thankfully, they couldn't have been born into a more loving, accepting and welcoming family. My sister is giving her all to her children, as of course is only right, but I just wanted to shout out to her and I know she's so loved and appreciated and thank you for navigating everything with grace, love and support. See, I love you always from M. Klein. And the writer goes on to say, thank you both for being a ray of sunshine, love and support in an increasingly shitty world. I struggle with anxiety along with a plethora of other brain-related fun. But you both make me feel less alone, less weird, and happy to accept who I am.
That's so lovely.
It's an abridged version, but thank you, Em, for that lovely, lovely message. And a lovely shout out to sister
C. Sister.
Yes.
Who sounds like she's doing a wonderful
Wonderful,
job.
Wonderful, very inspiring.
I've got one here. Hello, darlings. Oh. I just wanted to drop you both a line to say thank you for keeping me company this week.
Oh.
I was let go from my job in a very cruel and unkind way.
Oh.
I popped into town on Saturday to send some parcels and afterwards I popped into some charity shops. I was browsing the books and there was Tom's book, Too Much.
Oh.
I didn't feel able to read the book that I was reading the day that I lost my job and there was Tom's book. Oh. I was also listening to your podcast, so I felt like it was a sign.
Oh my goodness.
Reading Tom's book was very reassuring to know that I'm not alone in feeling like I'm not a grown-up, knowing that even through all the worrying, everything will be all right in the end. I'm taking inspiration from Tom and I'm going to plant my seeds in the garden to fill this time that I'm taking out of work. I like to be busy and often find spare time with no purpose, incredibly anxiety-inducing. Oh my goodness, me too. I really, really relate to that. Mm. Thank you so much for keeping me company when the world feels too much. See you through the week or the window. And that's from Lizzie.
Lizzie, thank you so much for sending that message. I'm very flattered that my book has helped. And I do think, well, now is the time of year to think about planting things if you want to. So that's great. And it can be very calming, I think, just to see the hope that a garden can offer and the positivity and actually the endeavors that will inevitably bear fruit.
Bloom.
Yeah, exactly.
Bloom. I planted some carrots in your garden the other day.
Well, indeed you did, Susie. Indeed you did.
And I'm excited to come round and have a nibble.
We're going to have a delicious crudité selection.
you just wait.
Don't stop us. Yes, yes. Would it be possible to get a shout out for my wife, Lucy, who turns 40 on the 20th of March?
Yes.
Massive fan. Susie, we saw you at the Colchester Art Centre in 2023 and have tickets to see you again at the Colchester Mercury Theatre this year, which we're both really looking forward to.
Oh, thank you.
She makes me so happy and feel so lucky to have been with her for the past 20 years. I really want her to have the best birthday. We often listen to your podcast and find it very comforting and relaxing. And I know it would mean a lot to her to get a happy birthday from two of her favourite comedians. Kind regards, Andrew. Well, Andrew.
Yes. Lucy. Happy 40th.
Happy 40th. You'll love it.
Yes, no, I'm 40 in January.
We're all planning. So we're all busy planning.
So Lucy, let me know how it feels. Let me know how you get on with it. But I hope you have a lovely birthday. And thank you so much for buying tickets in advance to come and see me at the Colchester Mercury, as you know, a bigger theatre than the one that I usually play in Colchester. So I'm not at all nervous about the fact that I'm doing bigger rooms on this tour. But I feel very confident.
Quite right.
Happy birthday, Lucy.
Happy birthday to anybody.
Everyone, I hope you're doing okay.
Yes.
Big shout out to M's sister, C. Another big shout out to Lizzie, who's had, who is now having some time to focus on the gardening during her gardening leave.
It will yield. It will yield.
It will yield. And we will see you all next week. We won't see you. We'll be here.
We'll be here for you.
Was like a, bit, a gentle hum.
Was that a bit moany at the beginning? I feel like when you're talking about music on the beach, was a bit moany.
No, I think you're allowed to be moany.
I don't want to bring everybody down.
No, luckily you're good looking enough to get away.
Oh, thank you. So are you. All right, everyone. Well, we'll speak to you later. All right.
Okay. All right. That's enough for that. Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
Bye.
How do you know if you're worrying too much? How can you mend a broken heart? Does peaking at school ruin you for life? I'm Susie Ruffle, a stand-up comedian and someone who has always experienced anxiety. And I've written a book, Am I Having Fun Now? Considering some of life's big questions. Featuring bonus insights from the likes of Charlene Douglas, Sarah Pascoe, Elizabeth Day and Dolly Alderton. Am I Having Fun Now? Is out now in hardback, ebook and audio.